So tired, but I have to do this. Okay. My name is Dr. Evelyn Martinez, and this is slog number 42 for May 30th, 2017. So, today was interesting. We trekked about 2 miles into the highlands. It was raining most of the morning, and there was this acrid smell everywhere we walked. Actually, the Weather Bureau had predicted volcanic ash and hazards for Tecatl Airport, and there were apparently quite severe mudslides in the southern provinces, but for me it was mostly just generic mountain highlands rain. There were also several lemur-like organisms we saw heading up, but we were pressed for time and I wasn't able to study them closely, unfortunately. Anyway, we wound up in a village called Tambopata that sits around roughly 1100 meters ASL, about 3 in the afternoon. The rain had stopped, but the first thing I noticed was that the locals had been burning lots of wood that day. And there was a smoky haze completely covering the village. Now, this wasn't typical cooking fires, and I couldn't tell where they were burning these things, actually. The smoke was just so thick that you couldn't see more than 10 meters or so ahead of you between the typical rainforest haziness and the smoke from the fires. The first thing that was abnormal was that we were greeted by an older woman, not quite elderly, but perhaps in her 50s, who stopped us a little ways into the village. Anna, of course, is fluent in all the local dialects, and this woman seemed quite perturbed while she was speaking to Anna, gesticulating at her men, and eventually, Anna explained that there was some sort of religious or cult event happening, and that Romano and Max wouldn't be able to enter. See, this was problematic, at least for us, because of Max's cartographical skills, and we'd come to do, eventually, some surveying in the eastern ranges. Well, we decided in the end that the men could camp down the mountain, which we were told was where the rest of the men from the village were anyway. There were only girls in the village, mostly little girls in muddy dresses, shyly looking at us from their hot doors. And so the men left part of the provisions and headed back down the way we'd come. We had them on GPS, and I think they ended up actually camping about 600 meters back down the mountain. Romano must have been angry, walking our stuff up there and having to leave. But of course, we'd been trekking quite excitedly and we were nearly out of water, so I needed one of the fires so that I could boil some of the stream water. The Tambopians speak a somewhat related dialect to the one I'm used to, but their noun phrases, among other things, are quite different. So I could tell one of their women that I needed a fire, but I couldn't clearly explain why. Anyway, like I said, Anna is fluent in Tambopanese, and she explained that I needed a fire to boil the water. Of course, the woman she was speaking with smiled. She must have been mid-30s or so, pregnant with dark, protruding, swollen nipples. She smiled at me, and I showed her my canteen, and then she led me through the massive huts toward the back of the village. Now, I should say that This was where I started noticing peculiar things. First of all, in every other village or town we frequented during our excursions, there's this sort of incessant buzz of different activities. Of course, we knew there were no men around, but the women and girls were very quiet, and I guess the only way I can describe it is that they were shy. Everybody seemed shy. Oh, and there were no animals around either, which is odd, I thought. Usually in these villages there are chickens and dogs milling about, but the path through the huts was just empty and silent. Now, we ended up at a very ornamented hut with bones and sticks above the threshold. And we got near it. We were walking towards it. We could hear this sort of low murmuring, and then a girl grunting and moaning as if in pain. And then young girls would also be laughing. Anna and I sort of looked at each other like, what are we getting into? But of course, we had to continue following the woman who I ended up calling Maria. Now, keep in mind, we only wanted to boil our water with the fire, but when we walked into the room, I'm going to attempt to explain this as accurately, objectively, and professionally as I can. Inside the hut was, first of all, the stench of sweat and mud. That was the first thing I noticed as we went through the doorway and my eyes were still adjusting. Then I realized that the room was filled with women and girls of varying ages. Some of the girls were infants who were breastfeeding, and some of the women present were elderly. All of them were crowded around a rectangular slab of mud in the center of the hut, which had four fires along each of its lengths. None of the women even looked at us as we entered, because they were all fixated on what is happening at the center of the room. On this rectangular slab was a very young male boy. The boy had cloth wrapped around his eyes as a blindfold and was completely naked, laying flat on his back, and he was bound by his wrists and ankles by straps that were tethered to the four corners of the slab. I noticed that he had clearly been struggling at the tethers because his wrists were bleeding. The boy also had an erection. His fully exposed and retracted penis was perhaps 4 inches, and he had no growth of pubic hair. Because he was laid on his back, his erection was bobbing with his cardiac rhythms, and it was slightly smacking his skin just below his belly button. His penis appeared wet and shiny after watching him struggle and bob. There's a young pubescent girl, perhaps the same age as he is, who stepped up to the slab and grasped him. She had dipped her tiny hands into a pot and they were dripping and wet, and she grabbed his penis and started jacking him slowly and shyly. The boy arched his head back and grunted, and I realized it was him who I had heard in anguish from outside the hut. The girl, of course, was completely mortified, and she looked across the slab towards what I assume was her mother. The boy was struggling in her grasp, and a woman smiled from across the hut. The young girl smiled, and then the women in the hut giggled. The young girl removed her hand from the boy and backed away from the slab, and I noticed that the boy had tears soaking through the cloth, caked in dirt and streaking his face. Now, another girl, this time certainly older than both of them, perhaps around 17, with large breasts and much more confident air, moved up to the slab. She dipped both her hands into the clay pot and lathered the liquid between her hands, and then she sat on the slab next to the boy. She smeared the liquid on his belly, and then she reached up and rubbed her hands and whatever fluid was on them along his nose and mouth, and she smiled. The other women in the hut all giggled, and from what Anna and I could tell, seemed to assent to this. The boy struggled and arched his head back again, but she forced her fingers into his mouth by holding his nostrils together until he opened his mouth, and then she inserted her fingers. There was so much giggling and some outright laughing at this. She dipped her hands back into the pot and lathered them again, and then she too grasped his penis and began slowly masturbating him. She seemed to pay careful attention to the boy's foreskin as it slid along his tiny glands. Then she reached beneath his penis with her other hand and grasped his testicles, cupping them. The boy's testicles were pulled tight and smooth, and we couldn't see them very well from the doorway because they had pulled so tightly against his body. The girl then began netting them until she had popped them out of his internal sac a little as his scrotum became saggier and droopy. I guess I should clarify. I don't mean that the boy's balls were separate from his body, just that she had clearly intended to massage them out of their place within his small body. She seemed to know what she was doing, in other words. The boy was moaning and breathing heavily, and he had bubbles of mucus, or whatever had been on her hands, popping out of his nose and mouth as he heaved. Anna and I had avoided each other's eyes. We are anthropologists. It is not our place to judge or condemn practices of other cultures. We had come to Tambopata to document lifestyles and practices as they are, not as we think they ought to be. Anyway, going back to my recollection. The girl kept jerking the boy, who remained fully erect throughout the ordeal we witnessed. Anna and I both thought at the time the liquid they were using might have been an aphrodisiac, but in hindsight, I think his endurance was due to his age, the stimulation of this situation, and the inability to release. She would periodically lean over him and let her breast smear against his face, and she also kept leaning towards him to whisper things in his ear. Approximately 7 minutes after this second girl had begun masturbating the boy, an older woman in her late 20s or early 30s, who is clearly a mother with swollen breasts and stretch marks along her thighs, stood and approached the slab. She did not gather the ointment, but instead she reached between the boy's legs and pressed her fingers against him. It was unclear to us at that time what she was doing. We couldn't make out exactly what she was doing, at least from where we were standing. The woman I called Maria later explained that the woman was monitoring the child's perineum, or his taint, as Maria referred to it, so that when he began pumping, the girl would stop. So she just leaned there next to him, looking down at him, with her fingers pressed between his thighs, and the young girl continued tracking him. All we could really hear in the hut was the squishing sounds. The boy began shivering and flexing his toes, and eventually, the older woman placed her hand on the young woman's arm to stop her. So, I'd like to reiterate, obviously, it's not my place to judge the customs of peoples that differ from me. I think Anna would say the same thing. That's to say nothing of whether what we might have accomplished had we tried to intervene, but I don't know. We were there to observe, despite how shocking or horrendous this indigenous practice might be. The boy was obviously very close to ejaculating, and he was squirming and flexing his tiny legs and buttocks while the two females pressed down on his knees to keep him from moving around too much. From where I stood, I could just make out his groin area. His tiny scrotum was pulled tightly against his body again, and now that his penis was undisturbed, there was a clear string of pre-cum that was very visibly tethered to his hairless body. Anne and I very quickly looked at one another, but again, there was nothing as for us to do, and then we heard some commotion at the back of the hut. The younger woman rubbed the boy's belly just above his string of pre-cum and fingered his belly button, so he fought her and squeaked. Another woman, this one very pregnant, perhaps in her early 30s and with a deep scar on her left cheek, emerged from the rear of the hut with an emaciated but very large dark dog and led it toward the slab. The canine was very nervous. Its ears were pulled back and its tail between its legs. This woman held something in her hand, which must have been meat of some sort, and she compelled the dog onto the slab. It bounced up, clearly a male with large testicles. It was terribly emaciated and dirty, with protruding ribs and mange. After it jumped onto the slab, the woman fed it the meat and withdrew into the rest of the women. The first woman, the older one, quickly grasped the dog's penis and held him so that shortly after he began humping, while he was standing partly over the boy. He even stepped on the boy's arm and scratched him, and the child cried out in pain. We could start to make out the dog's penis as it began emerging from its sheath, and as it grew longer and bigger, it started throbbing and squirting, and I could see the boy's chest being sprinkled with drops of semen. The younger girl then approached behind the boy and lifted his head up so that his face was roughly at the same level as the dog's penis. The woman kept hold of the dog, and with her free hand, she popped his knot loose from the sheath, and then she held just posterior to his knot and led him forward towards the boy. When the tip of the spraying dog penis touched the boy's face, He fought terribly to rise up from the bindings, but the girl held him tightly. They were attempting to force a dog into his mouth, but the boy was clamping his mouth shut. The older woman used her free hand to reach back and squeeze one of the boy's testicles so that he cried out, completely overwhelmed with anguish, and opened his mouth. She then forced the dog forward so that his penis entered the child's mouth. The boy gargled and coughed, but the girl leaned forward on his head while the woman continued pulling the dog by the base of his cock, so that the boy had to take him into his throat. We could see the bulge into the child's throat, and the dog was so deep that his nut was throbbing halfway inside the boy's mouth, which was gaping. The boy struggled mightily as the girl pushed tightly forward, and the dog, having inserted his penis into something warm and tight, began fucking his mouth in earnest. The dog humped uncontrollably as the boy heaved and struggled with his tiny arms, grasping at the air with his fingers and pointing his toes, unable to breathe. The dog's cock was growing to its full size, and we could see the outline clearly along the boy's throat now as it robbed him of air. I remember looking at the dog's anus just briefly as it winked and pulsated, and then at the testicles as they surged up and down with each pump of sperm, and then at the visible part of his nut, and noticing how it just looked like the child had swallowed a red ball with purple lines on it. And then I realized the boy was turning the same color. His veins protruded from his head and neck as he approached unconsciousness, but just then, the girl behind him stepped back and yanked his head back by his hair so that the spurting dog cock smacked up against the dog's belly as it pumped, and the child gasped for air as semen and mucus bubbled from his mouth and down his red face. She allowed him only a few breaths before she grasped his hair tightly against his head and pushed it forward again so the dog could slide into his mouth and fuck it again, while the little boy whimpered and cried and struggled against his bindings. His tiny hands were turning in circles in the fabric as his fingers searched for something or someone, anything for comfort. I'm not sure what we could have done, or if we should have done something. Of course, we had no idea what to expect or what they were going to do. I observed that the boy's tiny cock was still fully erect and bounced up and around as he struggled, making a wet smacking sound each time he whacked it against his hairless belly. The woman looked down as the boy at the boy with flashing eyes. She said something loudly, and another three more women stepped forward. Two of them were adults, mothers, if I had to guess by their ages and physical attributes, and the other appeared just on the verge of adulthood. The young one dipped her hands into the pot and rubbed them together. She was wide-eyed and flushing in her face and chest, staring at the dog inside the boy and then down at the boy's penis as it jumped with his heartbeat. The two other women unfastened the bindings from beneath the slab, and then each of them pulled their ends so that the child's legs were splayed open, while the first woman held down on his belly. He was making much less noise now, mostly just gurgling sounds as his snot and mucus bubbled from his holes. Every time he got so still that I thought that he might be unconscious, but then The girl behind him would plop his head off the dog's knot and l allow him to breathe little gasps of air. The two new women held his spine so that his legs were splayed open and up in the air, with his buttocks curled up as if he might roll into a ball. And the dark spot of his asshole is fully exposed and shiny from whatever they were using on their hands. The other girl then climbed onto the slab in front of him and began jerking him while she enveloped his perineum, holding and netting it with her palm, and then rubbing his tight asshole with her thumb, making him twitch and jump with his skinny legs. The boy's face was purple, and he began reflexively humping and intermittently curling back on himself in pre-orgasmic spasms. His mouth was oozing a thick, clear mixture of dog semen and his own saliva as the dog continued emptying himself into the boy's stomach, the pulses of his protruding canine asshole deep and powerful now. Suddenly, the boy began a gurgling, terrified scream through the dog's splooge and curled back hard on himself. The girl who was jerking him said something in Tembopanese and removed the hand that had been massaging his puffy taint, motioning towards it. The women in the hut had all gradually been moving closer so that they could witness the boy's parts when he was played, and we were all much nearer him now. His perineum was swollen, a dark cord running from the base of his testicles to his anus. The girl jacking him dipped her thumb into the pot, which I thought smelled like ammonia. She reached down and slid the thumb, without warning, hard into the boy's anus, so deep that I thought she might tear him. The boy screamed in muffled terror, and the girl said something to the others, and then twisted her hand and plopped it out, leaving the child with a temporarily gaping anus as he pointed at us. She smiled and pointed at the dog's pulsing anus, which was just in front of her, and then she laughed. Then the women all began murmuring as the boy's asshole squeezed shut and his taint began to pulse. As it began pumping, yet another woman, this one much older, perhaps in her 50s, leaned under the dog and took the child's tiny cockhead into her mouth. She did not move, but merely rested her head sideways on the boy's belly, waiting for the girl to masturbate the child's load into her mouth. The boy groaned into the dog's knot and began thrusting back on himself as he began spurting uncontrollably into the woman's mouth. I had, of course, never seen anybody that young have an orgasm. His arms were pulled tight against his restraints, and then the turning of his hands stopped. The older woman, without moving from sucking the boy's penis, felt for his face and tore his blindfold off. The boy's eyes were lifeless and crossed and stuck down towards his nose, as if he were trying to focus on the dog's veiny knot inside his mouth. All we could see were his bloodshot eyes, and I knew then that this must have been his first orgasm. He clearly had no idea what was happening to him. His taint pulsed quickly as his balls pumped his load out. As his first orgasm ended, his asshole itself pulsed, much like the dog's just above it, and as he emptied himself fully, the pulsing slowed. The older woman reached around and pushed very hard against his perineum,
then grabbed his penis and squeezed hard as she brutally milked the last of his young sperm into her mouth. Squeezing him so hard, I thought she was going to actually pull his penis off. She finished him by reaching down to his asshole and rubbing circles on it as she smiled, and then released him. The girl who... She'd been the one pressing his head against a dog's cock. She then produced a blade. I don't know how she even got it and where she got it from. And she just dropped his head so that his face fell from the dog cock and back below the slab. And then... Well, first, she gripped him around the mouth, covering it, and then she inserted the tip of the blade behind his left eye, and as he began screaming in terror, she used his supraorbital notch as a fulcrum to dislodge his eyeballs from his skull. The boy screamed an awful, terrified, agonizing scream, and she let his head go so that it fell down and back. The boy's eyeball just dangled there, lolling against his head, hanging by his optic nerve, and his pupils seeming to move and look at the room at us. And the girl reached down and squeezed it. His eyeball, like she was trying to pop it, and then she just playfully rolled it around his gaping socket as she rubbed her breasts. Then she grabbed his eye and pulled it so that the optic nerve was stretched tight. And then she sliced it, like she was cutting a string of fat off venison. The boy's blood pulsated on the back of the woman holding his left leg. There was this popping sound as it snapped. She covered his mouth again to keep him from being too loud, and blood was dripping and dripping into the mud floor. She did this to both of his eyes. The starving dog, of course, couldn't contain himself, and well, first the girl placed the eyeballs in her palm for the dog to sniff, and he just bit them off her hand and crunched them, and then he began licking the blood from the boy's eye sockets as the girl held him tight and muffled. I'll never forget seeing the boy's optic nerves as they slid away down the dog's throat, and with each swallow, the dog's cock jumped and swayed. He barely seemed to even chew. He just inhaled the boy's eyes. The boy was just moaning now, this never-ending, droning moan. He was crying, but it was like he never stopped to breathe. Just a never-ending wail. The girl picked up the blindfold and she shoved it over his head and tied it tightly as a gag, which made him gurgle and cough. Then she removed her skirt. Her panties were stained with fresh blood. She was apparently menstruating. After she removed her pants, she grabbed the sides of the boy's head and placed her thumbs into the holes where his eyes were, using them as grips. And then she moved up and began rubbing herself onto his head. The dog jumped off the table, and so after rubbing herself on his head a few times, she cradled the bottom of his neck and moved down so that she was rubbing her pussy over his nose and then his gagged mouth. The boy was still moaning and sputtering, and she closed her eyes and looked down as she humped him. The other girl who had jerked him off had been watching all of this. We all have. Some of the boy's cum had leaked onto his belly as his penis had become flaccid from his orgasm and his horror. The girl had rubbed some more of the fluid from the pot, the lubricant, into her hands, and she began jacking him again, even while his eyeball cords were being snipped. Despite his horror and pain, and to my amazement, he was starting to get erect again, his soft, tiny cock uncurling in her hands. He was still moaning, almost like he was dreaming, like he wasn't there, but somehow his tiny cock was hard again. He was moaning and trying to say words through the gag, almost reflexively, but the girl pulled his cock tight towards his anus and let it go, letting it smack in the puddle of juices on his belly. Later, they told us he'd been calling for his mommy. Despite this, the girl continued rubbing herself on his face, holding him tightly by his neck, until she began crying out with pleasure, while the other girl jacked him as this sound, this mixture of three sounds filled the hut. I'll never forget it. The moans of the girl as she came, the agonized wailing of the boy, balls and eye sockets both emptied, and this smacking as his tiny cock was gripped tightly and jerked by a girl only slightly older than him. This time, though, the girl jerking him had taken the blade. In the young boy's virgin excitement, and since he had just blown his load, there was a considerable amount of pre-cum that squirted out before he actually began ejaculating. The girl jacking him watched it as he further soaked his belly, but she also washed his perineum for the sure signs of his actual sperm fractions. His taint pumping, first slow and deep, and then faster and lighter as his balls worked to empty themselves for the second time. This time, he began pulsing slower and deeper as his nuts pulled tight for their second round. His wailing grew more panicked and frightful. After he'd reached ejaculatory inevitability and the first drop of cum squirted from his cock, the girl placed the blade at the base of his shaft and quickly sawed at his young penile bulb. It only took her two slices. The boy had involuntarily curled back on himself as he began ejaculating, and now he fell flat as he screamed silently into the gag, his pain beyond expression, and tried to escape the blade. The two women at his sides held firmly as his body continued pumping his sperm into the now gaping hole that had been his thin shaft, mixing his milky boy cum with the bright red arterial blood as it began spurting down his crack. His detached and suddenly limp boy cock was stripping his sperm from its bloody base, and it was handed to the girl currently rubbing herself on his face. She smiled and lifted it above her mouth so that the semen dripped into it. She let go of the boy's neck, and his head fell with an awful thud against the side of the slab, and she squeezed his cock like a toothpaste container, dribbling his cum and blood down her throat. She giggled, bouncing her swollen tits, and reached down and pulled the gag to his neck. Then she bent down and began kissing him. She kept kissing him while the other girl was fingering the hole where his cock had been, sloshing it and making it bigger, and intermittently stuffing his droopy emptied ballsack into it, while the boy continued moaning incoherently into her throat. Eventually, she pinched his nose shut with her bloodied fingers and forced his mouth open, gasping. And then she placed his little dismembered cock face down inside his mouth. It was dripping his blood and sperm, and he coughed and gagged, his tiny Adam's apple sliding along his throat. He was white from the blood loss and the pain, and he didn't seem altogether conscious. She placed the cock in his mouth and then stared down at him while the other girl made sloshing sounds as she played with the hole she'd made and smiled. Finally, the girl at his head placed her hand over his mouth so that his tiny glands was between her fingers, and, keeping his nose pinched, squeezed him. She squeezed him hard, his glands was pressed and his cum drained out of the tip from the pressure, and he began turning blue and then convulsing. But she just held him and stared, his fingers once more grasping frantically for anything to hold on to, until at last his ribs stopped moving. We watched 6 young boys die that night, all of them laid side by side with their tiny cocks limp and drooling in their innocent mouths before they were burned. They brought in a new male dog every time, and the women also changed. One of the boys, having been made to ejaculate, had his throat slit while the girl rubbed her clit just above it. He made an awful gurgling and bubbling sound. The boy's face was covered in mucus and canine semen and was terribly pale, and then there was just so much blood spurting out and down his face. The dog's cock he'd been sucking, fat, thick, and jumping, continued spurting semen onto the standing girl's belly while he died. I can't get it out of my head that, as she pulled away from the boy's softening cock, it thumped in rhythm with the blood as it spurted out of the hole. In his neck. Until he stopped moving completely. Once the boy was motionless, the room was silent and still as the women stared, fixated at his penis, evidently waiting for the child to give them a death boner. And sure enough, roughly 30 seconds later, his cock stood up, leaking his creamy jizz out of the tip as his body twitched and jerked in a flurry of cadaveric spasms. For every boy slowed, boiling as their hormones churned it out of their tight bowls, a younger girl would appear and stand below an older woman who had actually sucked the boy's cock. And we realized later that it was their mother's, and this signified some adolescent rite of passage. Their moms would gently grasp their heads and pinch their mouths open, then lean over them and dump the contents of each boy's nuts into their daughters' mouths. The girls would gag and their eyes would water, then they'd hold their breath, and then they too would lean over and open wide to let the sperm plunk into the pot. The Tambopians were matriarchal, and they utilized this practice of filicide to ensure an optimal ratio of females to males. Their belief is that the gods choose families to punish, and that the boys should bear the sins of their fathers, and then they also believe that the sperm of young boys, especially when acquired through sperm marsh, contains medicinal and other health-related properties, especially when it is mixed with canine sperm. They placed much importance on the fact that it's the first time the boy had blown his load. This entire ordeal lasted until dawn, and by then the hut reeked of blood and boy cum. When it was all over, Anna and I attempted to leave the hut, but we were offered sips from the pot. The mix of cum was very viscous and colored in different gradations of opacity as the sperm from many different boys swirled and sloshed around in it. We looked at each other because, despite the ethics of what we had just seen, we did not want to cause offense or diminish her chances of future investigations of these people. Anna was first, but woozy, exhausted, and thirsty from watching the milkings and killings, she sloshed some of the cum mix down her shirt and began gagging as she swallowed, choking as the boy cum bubbled out of her nose. As I brought the cum closer to my face, I thought about how all of it, how everything in that clay pot had been warm in the bowls of boys and dogs only hours earlier. The boys had probably sensed it as it churned there, waited on their tiny sacks, but they hadn't known what to do with it. And now the boys were dead, and we were dumping their cold child loads into our bellies, where they would set just millimeters from our fallopian tubes and ooze down our intestinal walls. Evolutionary dead ends, life snuffed out. The smell of the boy jizz was overwhelming, but I gulped twice and felt it begin sliding down my throat. Anna was dry retching on the side of the hut. Her breasts were heaving as she tried to breathe. After moments of dizziness, I walked out into the cold morning, the smoke from the fires of the dead boys burning my eyes as their sperm slithered into my belly.